Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Automated Entrepreneur Podcast, where we seek to bring out the entrepreneur in you and help you to create a lifestyle by design. Today, the law of familiarity. English singer-songwriter Louise Nerding, now known as Louise Redcap, once said, "After seeing a lot of the world, I now tend to return to the same spots. I enjoy the familiarity." The more familiar a prospect is with you, your brand, and your company, the more likely they will be to accept and return your calls, open your emails, accept a social media connection request, respond to a text, accept an invite to an event or a webinar, download information from a link you sent them, engage in sales conversations, and ultimately, do business with you. That's the law of familiarity. This is supported by data that indicates that it can take between 20 and 50 touches to engage a prospect with little to no familiarity with you or your company, but just 1 to 10 touches to engage an inactive customer, warm inbound lead, or prospect who has a high degree of familiarity with you, your company, or your brand. The lack of familiarity is why you get so many objections to your requests for your prospect's time. When prospects don't know you, it's much harder to get in the door. And that's why it's in your best interest to invest time and effort to build familiarity with your prospects. For it lubricates prospecting, because it makes a prospect's decision to give you their time feel less risky. There even comes a point when a prospect will readily communicate and build a first-name relationship with you, even when they aren't interested in buying at the moment. When you earn trust to cross the familiarity threshold, you also gain the ability to communicate, well, more freely, including through social media inboxes and text messaging, without being considered intrusive. You won't cross the familiar threshold with most of your prospects because, well, there never seems to be enough time to make that level of investment with all of them unless you delegate the process. This is why you must create your conquest lists and develop strategic prospecting plans so you focus your time and attention on building familiarity with your most valuable prospects. Or, once again, defer it to a company who will do this for you on a daily basis. Every one of your candidates who happens to be on your prospect list should be contacted at least once a month. Let's talk about the 5 levers of familiarity. The familiarity threshold is also why the senior reps in your organization, you know, the ones who've been in the same territories for all of their careers, make it look so easy. The years of investment that they've made in building familiarity in their territory has paid off. If you were to take a closer look at their efforts, you would discover that there were at least 5 levers that helped them build familiarity over time. The first step in creating familiarity is through persistent and consistent daily prospecting. Each time you call, email, meet face-to-face, drop off a business card, leave a voicemail, you're creating familiarity. This is one of the core reasons persistence pays off. The more times they see or hear your name, the more familiar you become with them and the gatekeepers that protect them. Simply put, the more you prospect, the more familiar you become to your prospect base. Next, referrals and introductions. The most powerful and direct path to familiarity is a referral or an introduction. The referral gives you instant credibility because you get to ride on the coattails of a person who is already trusted by your prospect. There are 3 basic types of referrals. First, customer referrals come from happy clients that trust you. The key to generating these referrals is developing a disciplined, systematic process for asking for referrals. Second, personal referrals come from friends, family, and acquaintances. These are people who know you and are willing to send prospects your way. Take time to educate your personal connections on what you do and your ideal prospects so they know whom to look for. Then keep reminding them so they don't forget about you. Third, professional referrals come from relationships you've developed with other professionals in related industries or with salespeople who may call on the same type of prospects but don't compete with you. These are typically mutually beneficial relationships. To generate these referrals, you must seek out, form, and make an ongoing investment in these professional relationships. The wider your professional network, the more referrals you'll generate. Now, we've read dozens of books on referrals over the years, and these books offer excellent advice, techniques, and tips for generating referrals. For the sake of time, I'm going to give you a short synopsis on the core message that is common in every one of these books. The real secret to generating referrals is help your existing client to experience the ultimate in service, which gives them reason and confidence to refer you, and then ask them to do so. Now let's talk about the third lever of familiarity, networking. There are opportunities to network in your community or in your territory every single day, every single week. The first place to check is within the chamber in your territory. Then Google the calendars of other businesses and civic organizations in your area. Finally, ask your prospects and customers which events, conferences, and trade shows they attend. And then go get out of the office. Can we make this any clearer? Go shake hands, meet people, go learn about them. You'll get leads and referrals, and nothing builds familiarity better than face-to-face contact. To be successful at networking, refrain from becoming a walking, talking marketing brochure, and get it through your head that nobody cares about you or what you have to say. They want to talk about themselves. You don't need to go to networking events to sell. You're not there to set appointments, get leads, or close business. You're there to create connections with other people. And you get to do those other things a little later on, once your connections are established. There should be no quid pro quo attached to your conversations. You create connections when you ask people questions, and then you listen, and then you become genuinely interested in them. Maya Angelou said, "People will forget what you said or what you did, but they will always remember how you made them feel." Take this to heart as you invest time in networking events. And following up after such events, well, that's the key to anchoring your new relationships and familiarity. Be sure to use handwritten notes to remind the other person about your conversation by referencing something that you spoke about. When I've had a positive conversation, I also send a short text to thank the person for taking time to speak with me, followed by a LinkedIn connection request to further anchor familiarity. And finally, I log any leads into my CRM no later than the next morning. If I promise to do something, schedule an appointment, or introduce them to someone else, I schedule a task and take action within 24 hours of the event. And that way, I'll always be present in their mind. The fourth lever, company and brand familiarity. Here's the good news. If you're lucky enough to work for a well-known company or sell a recognized brand, prospecting is exponentially easier than it is for the rep selling from a startup or a small unknown company. In some cases, all you need to do to strike up a conversation or set an appointment is to mention your company's name or product. The large company marketing machine is always at work, driving brand recognition and generating leads through traditional advertising, social media, content marketing, trade shows, and conferences. And this gives the rep who works for such a company a very big advantage in the war for the prospect's attention. If you work for a startup, emerging brand, or a small unknown company without a sustained marketing strategy, you are almost always at a disadvantage. It is much harder to get people to meet with you when they're not familiar with your company. For this reason, small company and startup sales teams are intrinsically an integral part of the brand building process. In conjunction with limiting marketing resources, you must actively participate in getting the word out. The bottom line is, when you're in a small organization, it is almost always all hands on deck. Marketing is your responsibility, and it's all about creating the sense of omnipresence. And this is where often a team that handles marketing for you will make all the difference. And lastly, personal branding. Familiarity is also built through personal branding, making a direct investment in improving the awareness of your name, expertise, and reputation. And this is the ultimate way, because people buy you. They buy you and trust you because they believe that you are the only person who can solve their unique problem. Never in the human existence has it ever been easier to build familiarity through personal branding. Today, distributing content is easy. Just jump on your favorite social network and go to town. Point, shoot, write, click, and publish. It's all at your fingertips. You can get your name and reputation out there fast and for very little cost. Another effective way to grow your brand recognition is to speak on webinars, live streaming events, or even live outdoor events put on by your industry trade associations, and perhaps even your own company. Speaking allows you to showcase your knowledge, and it also gives you tremendous visibility and credibility. And because so few of your competitors do it, this will set you apart, enhance your personal brand, and create a greater sense of familiarity with your prospects.
And there you have it, the five levers for creating familiarity.